Production. Recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 68 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight, we're going to talk about upgrading your GPSR. If you want to participate in our show tonight, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join us in our live chat room to participate with our other listeners. That can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now button to participate on the right. Our voicemail line is 206-350-3GPS. And we're also on Twitter at twitter.com/GC Podcast. Welcome back, Daryl and Montu. How you guys been since a week ago?
Oh, I've been doing pretty well. Finally got a chance to head out and take some pictures with that newly converted camera. Posted some of those to Flickr, so if anyone wants to check those out, I posted it in the chat here, or we'll post those on the show notes. And it was a lot of fun going out with the IR and kind of gives all the trees that winter look. And I did all that before my 4th of July party, which wasn't mine, but, you know, going to a 4th of July party made a nice break from the work. And I'm still working my butt off, though. Very little time for anything outside of, you know, the office and podcasting. How about you, Montu Ryder?
Well, not much here. Same high temps and thunderstorms messing up the weekends. I have been definitely enjoying the new nephew, though. He's growing quick. Did get a chance to catch a couple of cachers, though. Biking Cacher, Seminole Neil, and Embargo were out doing some post 4th of July caching, and they came hunting for the Hi-Ho Silver Cache, which is GC14G45, which is just about 40 feet from my house. So we had our own little quick meet and greet, and last about 15-20 minutes, and then they were off on the way hunting for other caches, off for other parking grabs. How about you, Andy?
Well, I want to say, Daryl, I saw those pictures, and those pictures are really awesome. I really enjoyed them. It's something that I had never seen before you talked about it last week on the show. So I want to say those are awesome.
No,
Wednesday. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Just had too much caffeine, I think, today. If you follow me on Twitter, you guys have seen that since last Wednesday, I was laid off of my job. So I've been doing a lot of stuff besides caching this week. I've been looking for jobs and sending my resumes out and all that stuff like that. We're also trying to raise money for our vacation this year, because I was planning on going on vacation and using my vacation time to go, and now I can't do that. So we've kind of concocted the thing. We already have a blog, and I'll post that in our show notes at geocachingpodcast.info. But we decided we were going to take and video record a bunch of our trip and teach people how to do caching on, or not caching on a budget, but vacationing on a budget and doing all the stuff that we're trying to do to be able to go. So I'm trying to raise money so I can go, since I don't have a job and don't have any vacation time, even if I do get a job. So if you want to check out that blog and maybe donate, we'll have a link on our page. If not, that's cool. Just check out the blog. We'd love to share our information with you. So that's really what's been going on with me. However, we did happen to see that there's a new Garmin line that has been leaked. The retailers have leaked Garmin's upcoming GPS line. Amazon had it listed with a relatively blank pages as far as the new 200, 300, and 400C, 400i, and 400T. But Buy.com had more specific details on the Oregon 200, the Oregon 400C, and apparently the Oregon is fairly similar to the Colorado. It's a 3-inch by 240 by 400 pixel screen. Seems to be identical, with the most noticeable upgrades coming in the form factor. As GPS TrackLog points out, the Oregon is 1 inch shorter and 1/2 ounce lighter than the Colorado. For Garmin fans in the audience, announcements are expected the next month, so be looking out for that. We're not going to touch a whole lot more on it, because we don't really know any more than that, so it will we'll see there. We'll see how that what that looks like when it comes out. Which actually, that news kind of fits real good with our topic tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about upgrading your GPSR. And so, first thing we're going to look at is, why are we going to upgrade?
Well, one reason would be current units dead or acting up and out of warranty. Check with the manufacturer. Many provide affordable flat rate service to get it taken care of. Daryl?
Yeah, another reason is, you might need another unit around the house. Maybe it's for, that significant other. Maybe you want to get a better unit and pass down yours to someone else. But if you're looking for something maybe for doing vehicle navigation, take a look at getting one of the navigation-specific units, as they tend to perform better at doing those routes for you. And they can actually cost a little less. You get into a low-end unit, you're talking definitely under $200. And a handheld unit is a lot more than that.
Another reason is that they're getting too old to work with the current systems. Serial ports are disappearing, so you want to look at the better USB units versus the serial. Usually about $30 retail. You can get the adapters, but the adapters don't always work as well. The older software also might not be compatible, so you'd want to check GPS Babel or whatever software you're using to make sure it's going to be compatible with the upgrade unit that you might be purchasing.
Now, the most powerful thing that makes you want to upgrade is that you want an upgraded unit. It's that toy factor. Maybe it's that your current one is a little too slow or not designed for geocaching. Maybe you just want color. But if you're going to do that, that's fine. It's a lot of fun to get a new unit. Just see about passing that unit on to maybe a family member, a friend, or a school, and maybe you can get someone else interested in geocaching as well.
Thanks, guys. Now, there are several things to consider when upgrading your GPSR, and from price to a bunch of different things. Montu, what are some things that we should consider?
Well, first off, GPS reception. Accuracy, for one. You want to make sure that it has the WAS in it, so that you can get that added accuracy factor. Also, check on the chipsets that the GPS is using. If it has a Surfstar 3 chip or the Garmin High Sensitivity or something comparable, considering there are many brands out there. The other factor you want to keep in mind is, of course, the GPS antenna. Some of the GPSs, like the Garmin eTrex, has what's called a patch antenna. The antenna is actually inside the unit. They're small and they're cheap. They work, but you don't get as good of accuracy with it. Whereas the larger units like the Garmin Map 60, the Rhinos, and I'm sure Magellan's got a couple, I just don't know the models offhand, with that quad helix antenna, it gets much better reception even in the low signal areas, which you get that anytime you're getting into the dense woods or you're getting into a city with a lot of tall buildings. And then, of course, there's the units that have the external antenna, best when you're in a vehicle, so you can have the antenna actually mounted outside the car or, as some people have been known to do, wear it on your hat.
Those are always fun. Now, another thing to look at, though, is the mapping and the routing. And first off, do you even really want the mapping and routing? I think everyone knows my position on that, which is that the maps are indispensable. I couldn't work without having maps on my unit at this point. So if you're going to go for that mapping, you have to take a look at what maps are included. Typically, the base maps provide for major highways and bodies of water and not much else. So if you're going to get a unit that does mapping, you're probably going to want to take a look at getting some extra maps. So what maps are available? Keep in mind, too, when you're looking at this, that most maps that you purchase separately are licensed to a particular GPSR. So legally, you can't install those on a new unit. And in many cases, technically, you can't do it either because they're even key locked. But take a look at the maps that are available for the unit and kind of figure out which ones you like. You have your basic ones like the topo, which is what I prefer to use. Street maps, which are used for your routing. Nautical, if you're looking to do some boating. And now a lot of the units actually include an option for aerial photos. So that's very nice. And if you're going to be using routing, you have to keep in mind which maps you're going to use as well, if you want to use them. Topo maps and nautical maps don't do turn-by-turn routing, obviously, nor do most of the aerial photos. But if you want to do the turn-by-turn routing, you can get those street maps and do it. If you're looking for pedestrian routing, you know, you can do the point-to-point routing. I don't really consider it routing, but you know, the point-to-point routing that we typically use for geocaching with just about every unit.
Now, another thing to consider is the screen type. Color versus grayscale or black and white. Color will use more power, but it's better for mapping. You'll be able to see all of the different mapping features, especially in the topo maps and things like that. Grayscale can be easier to read outside, though, because of the way that it, you know, you only have two colors, so you can easily see outside. Another thing to consider is size. Most screens are measured diagonally, like TVs, so you're going to want to take a measurement from like the upper left-hand corner to the lower right-hand corner. And the resolution's going to vary. You may find a bigger screen with fewer pixels easier to use since everything kind of appears larger. The more pixels, though, the better the detail that can be displayed. So you'll have to decide for you, what's the better option? Do you want to have less pixels in a bigger screen or more pixels in a smaller screen but more detail? So that's something you're going to have to decide on yourself.
Now, another thing to keep in mind is the human interface. Buttons, including things like directional pads and the roll and rocker wheels, all are going to factor in, is this going to be a comfortable unit for me to work with? Mechanical buttons are very durable and work in a wide range of temperatures and conditions, whereas some of the others, like touch pads, get a little bit temperature touchy. If it gets too extreme one way or the other, they don't always realize that you're trying to indicate something when you're touching the pad. So always watch for units that have limited input options. Touchscreens, oh, I can't believe I just skipped on that one. Most portable touchscreen devices are sensitive to temperature changes, as I just said. But they can be very flexible on the input, but they rarely work with gloves. Daryl?
All right. Another thing to take a look at is most obviously now the computer interface. Most of us want to connect to the computer, and the best way for most of us to do that is through the USB port. It's faster than serial and compatible with almost every modern computer. It may not connect, though, to some of the older devices, which rely on the tried-and-true serial connections. Usually, but not always, the USB connection will still allow for the real-time location information to be sent. So if you want to use your laptop to track where you're going, you can plug it in and see it on that nice big, you know, 13, 15-inch screen, whatever you've got. Now, in some cases, you will still actually want to have a serial port, and a couple of the units do actually provide you with both serial and USB interfaces. The serial port is not one that you'll want to use for transferring large amounts of data because it is a lot slower, but there are a number of devices that do require a serial connection because that's what they were written for, and that's what the world worked on until about 5 years ago, really. So if you have a device that does like geotagging, a lot of the applications, you might need that serial port still. So make sure before you go and invest in a unit that it does have serial if you need it, because that way you can't usually go if you need to get a serial. You can't go USB to serial. If you have a serial unit, you can still connect it to a USB computer. Another connectivity method that's getting a lot more prevalent is Bluetooth. Typically, that allows real-time location information only. It doesn't allow you to transfer any waypoints or tracks, but it's really convenient if you're looking to do the laptop tracking because there's no wires. It just sends it right there. And it works on a lot of the cell phones, too. Now, of course, if you don't really care, you can always get one of the lower-end units that doesn't have any connectivity to a computer, and then you don't have to worry about screwing anything up.
Very, very, very true. I don't think I'd like that, though, because I don't think I'd want to enter 500 waypoints by hand. So one thing before we continue on, I want to remind everyone, too, that if you want to go ahead and give us a call and put in, tell us what you look for in when you look for new GPS hours, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. If you're just on the phone, go ahead and press *8, and that'll put you in the request to talk line. If you're in our chat room, go ahead and press the button in the top right corner that says request to talk. So, on with upgrading. The next thing you're going to want to look for, too, is memory. How much is built in? That's going to have to do with how lots of things, so how many waypoints you can put on, how fast it redraws, stuff like that. Is it maybe expandable too, with an SD card or a mini/micro SD card? My 76 has a micro SD card. I can pop a 1 gig, 2 gig chip in there, put lots more information on it, lots more maps. So you're gonna want to look at see how much memory is involved in your unit.
Another thing to keep in mind is the physical attributes of the unit, size and weight. Does it fit comfortably in your hand? Is it going to be comfortable carrying this thing on that 3 or 5 mile trek to find the cache? And can you operate the unit easily without blocking the screen or blocking the antenna for that matter?
Yeah, that can be a big problem if you have one of those little patch antennas and you stick your hand over it, you'll find many times you just lose signal altogether. Another factor, though, to look at is how is the unit powered? You know, most of the units take AA batteries. That gives you the option, in most cases, to use alkaline, which are available everywhere but can't be reused, lithium batteries, which, again, are disposable but last a lot longer than alkaline batteries, or NiCad, nickel-cadmium, and NiM, nickel-metal hydride. And those are rechargeable, but a lot of units don't necessarily allow for those because they don't provide as much voltage, even though they provide for more amperage. Some units, and there's not a whole lot of these, unfortunately, do support lithium-ion or lithium-polymer batteries. And these last longer than the NiCads or the NiM batteries. They weigh less, but they still require charging. Typically, when you find a unit that supports these batteries, you'll get at least a day, sometimes two, and because it's a rechargeable battery, you just plug it in, recharge it, and you know you never have to buy batteries again, really. And unfortunately, they still do go bad, but not as quickly as NiCads or NiMs do. One of the other things to look out for, though, make sure that there's a way to power that unit externally. If you're going to be transferring maps or leaving it in the car, you want to have that thing powered. Most of the USB GPSRs, but not all, can be powered via USB. And USB power supplies are fairly cheap and readily available at this point, so you can get something for the car for certain. Some of them will have car-specific adapters. So you know, think about getting that car adapter, because if you plug it in while you're driving, you can really reduce the amount of battery that you use. And in some cases, if you have like the lithium-ion or lithium-polymer battery, you can even charge it while you're running in the car.
That's pretty handy. That way you don't go through a gazillion batteries. The next thing that you guys are going to want to look for is a weather seal. A weather seal prevents humidity from entering the unit, and also you want to look for something that's waterproof too, which keeps water from entering the unit based on a submersion at a given depth for a short period of time. Especially with caching, when you're out in the woods crossing over trails and trees and water streams and things, you're going to want to have a unit that can take it in humid temps and also was waterproof, and maybe even something like the Garmin 76, which CSX, which is going to float even. So those are things that you're going to want to take into consideration, where you're going to be using them. Go ahead and you're going to probably especially want something that's a little bit waterproof too, especially while caching. If you don't have that, your chances are you're going to fall into a creek and you're going to submerge it, and that will be no good.
Yeah, now one of the things to consider, too, though, is if you do get something that's fully waterproofed, it is going to be a little bit bigger, and usually it's going to be a lot harder to open up to change those batteries.
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely true. Montu, what's the next thing we want to take into consideration?
Nope. Overall compatibility. Will it play nice with my friends? Does it work with your favorite waypoint manager, in other words? And also, do you want the connectivity through geocaching.com to send send a GPS button, which right now that is only for the Garmin USB. Right now geocaching.com doesn't support any of the others, even if you've got the serial connection for that old eTrex. So you've got to look at the compatibility with what you've got already.
Yeah, that is a nice function, really. And that's actually through a plugin that Garmin has made available to developers. So you'll find that a few of the other websites actually support that as well. So you can upload track logs and things like that to some of the cool My Trip, I think, is one of them, websites, where it will put together, you know, where you went with your photos and everything else. So, yeah, very nice function. But one of the things that you definitely need to look out for is it a geocaching unit? You know, does it support a geocaching mode with the ability to mark my caches that I found so that they don't show up as unfound caches again? Do the caches appear on the map? You know, many of you will remember that when the Colorado first came out, the caches didn't show up on the map, and to me, that was a big problem. Some people, that's not a problem, and if not, then don't worry about it. Another big factor is how much information is loaded about the cache. You know, personally, all I really need for my GPS right now, because I use a second device, is the waypoint GC number and the name. But in most of the cases, you can actually load a little bit more through something like GSAC. In the cases of like the Colorado, it has the full GPX file support. And other units like the Magellan had special loading utilities that would feature more information, though not the full cache details. And then with the Colorado, you get into that paperless caching mode, which is really handy because you have all the details there on one device, lots and lots of handy information without having to switch back and forth between multiple devices.
Now, the last thing that you're going to want to look is, how do you feel about it? Is it something that you're going to use? I mean, you're geocaching with it. It's your GPS. How do you feel when you use it? Is this something you're going to use? Do you want it? How do you feel? If it feels like a good unit to you, then it's going to be a good unit. And if you get the most out of it, it's a great unit. If not, then you'll be using the information to upgrade, you know, a couple months down the road, or who knows. So with that, that's all that we have for upgrading your GPSR. Like I said, it's my first GPS unit. I bought myself. It was a long time ago. Then my wife just recently purchased a new one for me. So I did not even get to purchase it, but she did an awesome job at getting it. It's the best thing that I could have even wanted. So with that, thanks everybody for joining us. Join us next week for Cache Repair Ethics. Join us each Tuesday. We do it again next Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the TalkShoe service, when you can call in live at 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525, or sign on to TalkShoe.com. And our show notes can be found, and all of the links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. If you want to leave us a voice message, go ahead and give us a call at 206-350-3GPS anytime, and you can leave us a voicemail. We just want to say another good thing about joining us live is a lot of times, not only do you get to see the chat log, the chats that go on behind while we're recording this, but you can also kind of influence the way this conversation goes. And after we hang up and stop recording this call, we talk usually about geocaching and other random stuff. So we'd love to have you join us live. So make sure to join us next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when we talk about cache repair ethics. Thanks, everybody. Have a good week, and go get your caches.